God is good, amen? And boy, we've been blessed this morning. Let me invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and be finding the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. And as you're turning there, I want you to remember that Joshua has taken Moses' place. He has led Israel into the promised land. And he now calls all the leaders of Israel to a place called Shechem. Joshua is getting ready to die, and this is his farewell address. And Joshua wants to warn the people about their idolatry, and he wants to warn them of God's coming judgment unless they repent and live for the Lord. If you'll please rise with me this morning as we honor God with the reading of His Word, this one verse, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And the Word of God says unto us, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father God, I pray today that every single soul that is present has made that decision that they will serve the Lord, that you will be Lord in their lives. And Lord, as we listen to this message today, would you reveal our hearts to us that we might have the absolute assurance of our salvation? In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now I want you to note here that Joshua says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. In other words, if you want to make the devil your God and serve him, then go ahead. But make a choice. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land he dwell, if you want to go and serve other gods, he says, go ahead. It don't make any difference for me. We've already settled the issue in our home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to know that's a decision that every single one of us has to make. Everybody in here this morning and everybody listening online and those who will listen later to this message, it is a choice that you have to make. You're going to have to decide whether you're going to serve the God of materialism, the God of secular humanism, the God of tolerance, or any other false god you care to name, or you're going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the living Word of Truth, Jesus Christ. Moses had warned Israel a generation earlier when he penned these words and stood before them, I call heaven and earth against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that thou and thy seed may live. Now Joshua, even though he was an old man at this point, he spoke with a mighty voice, and he reviews the history of Israel. He reviews how God had blessed them and how Israel had won their victories. And it wasn't by their own ingenuity. It wasn't by their own power. It was by the hand of Almighty God. And the people should have been grateful to God. But instead, what do we find? They were now going after other gods. And that's what's happening right here in America today, right before our eyes. God has blessed our nation. We are the land of the free and the home of the brave for over 247 years. But what do we find in America today? We find we are worshiping other gods. The gods of pleasure, the gods of lust and greed, the gods of materialism, the gods of selfishness, the gods of war. Our nation is divided as never before. And I believe Joshua's words to us are more important today than ever before. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Joshua tells them that such a condition cannot continue. They must decide whether they're going to serve idols or they're going to serve the living God. And friend, you and I must decide that as well. All of us must make a decision. If you're in the sanctuary or listening online, you're going to have to decide who you are going to serve. Because the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will allow no neutrality, and neither does Joshua here in this text. He says you must decide. You must decide immediately, not tomorrow, not sometime later in the future. You must decide today. And that challenge goes to us. We must decide whom we are going to serve. What is your number one priority in life? Is your priority Jesus Christ? Is He the Lord of your life? Or is your priority something or someone else? Jesus demands first place. He said, and He taught, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He demands first place. There's no room on the throne of your heart for two gods. And it is either Jesus Christ or it's the idols of this world. Jesus taught that no man can serve two masters because he'll love the one and he'll hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, the harder the challenge, the greater the response. And we have spent a generation of trying to lower the bar. But I want you to understand something. There is no such thing as cheap grace. Grace cost Jesus Christ His life. We've spent a generation lowering the bar across all of life for our young people today. But I want you to know something. Our young people want a challenge. They want something tough and hard. We've spent a generation lowering the bar, and no wonder they're rebelling as never before, moving away from societal norms, all looking for a challenge, for something hard to conquer, for something that's meaningful. All right then, give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ will challenge you like no other. Jesus Christ says to all of us, you must deny yourself and take up a cross. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to the place of execution. Come and go with me. Deny your selfish ambitions. Deny your lusts. Deny your rebellious behavior. Deny your selfishness and turn to me and go to the cross with me. Paul taught that a Christian is someone who has turned to God from idols. Someone who has come to Jesus Christ, who is willing to serve the true and the living God. Well, you look around our world today and what do we find? We find our world challenging our young children to go out there and to serve idols, but friend, a Christian is an idol breaker. Regardless of their decision, Joshua looks at him, he addresses him, and he tells him, whatever you decide, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Adam and Eve had to make a choice there in the garden, didn't they? God said, if you want to build a wonderful world, we'll build it together. But God said, I'm going to test you because I've given you the ability to choose. You have a free will. I haven't made you a robot. I'm not going to push a button and make you obey me. You choose. I've made you in my image. You have the right to choose. So when Adam and Eve faced the choice, they chose wrongly. They broke the law of God, and God said, in the day that you do so, you will suffer and die. And man has been suffering ever since. It's all because of the first sin there in the Garden of Eden, and man has been inheriting that tendency to sin ever since. The seed to sin has been in us. We're born in sin. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Think of it now. At conception, sin was already planted in us, and then comes the age of accountability. Perhaps 8, 9, 10 years of age when you are being held accountable by God for your actions. And you choose to sin. And in the rest of your life, you practice sin. We're born towards sin. You choose to sin at a certain point, and then you practice it. And the Bible says this: we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're idolaters, period. Now, Adam and Eve had to make a choice, and they made the wrong choice. You have to make a choice. Many of you here this morning or listening online, I hope that you will choose for Jesus Christ. I pray that you would choose for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, we're going to face many choices. Like the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus, and he was filled with questions because he wanted eternal life. And he said, "What must I do to find eternal life?" And Jesus looked at him, and the Bible tells us that when Jesus looked at him, he loved him and said, "Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And the rich young ruler was grieved, the Bible teaches. And he wept. And he went away sad. He wanted Jesus Christ. He wanted eternal life. But he wanted his money more. And I believe that if he'd have said, "All right, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go and get rid of it all," I bet you the Lord would have said to him, "Hey, you hang on to it. It's not your money I want. It's your heart." You understand that this morning? God wants your heart. It's our attitude toward these idols, toward these things. The television itself can become an idol. You ever notice when we walk into the room, all conversation stops and we sort of sit there in reverence watching that stupid box? Your iPhone, your smartphone can become an idol. Think about it. We're no different than Pavlov's dogs today, because every time that darn thing beeps, we immediately focus on it. We watch it. We read it. It's in our hand. We can't let it go. You know, I thought I'd have fun with my sister one time. She was carrying her phone around. I hadn't seen her in a few years because she serves the Lord in a different part of the country. But we were both home at Daddy's. And I thought to myself, she don't need to carry that thing all the time. So I thought, I'm just going to slide it away from her when she's not looking. Well, I did that. It's the first time in my life I ever seen my sister come unglued. She had a conniption fit. I couldn't believe it. We're just so into those things. It's become an idol in our life. The computer is an idol for many today. Men and women today are glued to it, hooked on pornography, chat rooms, virtual reality, you name it. So many of our young are hooked on Xbox and other gaming systems. And the Bible says we must make a choice. We must choose between two ways of life. Jeremiah had written, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." There's a way of life, and there's a way of death, and the Bible teaches it. Which way are you on? Jesus said, "I'm the one and only way. I'm the only way to permanent peace. I'm the only way to permanent joy. I'm the only way to eternal life. I'm the only way to forgiveness of sin. I'm the only way to the Father. You must come by me." And you know what? That eliminates a lot of people. When Jesus began to talk about dying on the cross, a lot of his followers left. They said, "Lord, we thought you were going to set up a throne. We thought we were going to have a big house. We thought we were going to all drive in Cadillacs. We thought we were going to have all the power and pleasure the world has to offer. We didn't really know you were going to go to a cross, that you were going to die. We didn't understand you wanted us to go with you. Friend, there's nothing cheap about grace. We must die to ourselves. We must put all of our allegiance behind the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's called Lord. Many people today want to divide them. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Jesus said, a house divided against itself will what? He's both Lord and Savior. You can't divide them. You can't have just a little of Jesus. You got to have all of Jesus, and I hope you have all of Jesus. You got to make a choice. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, what are some of the ways? Some people say, I'm going to follow my conscience. But you know, you don't follow your conscience. Your conscience is no longer a safe guide because you've hardened it. Many of us have dead consciences because of the deceitfulness of sin. Other people will say, well, I try to be sincere in everything I do. But I saw a man many years ago while I was watching a professional football game on television who was sincere as all get out when he picked up a fumble and he ran 65 yards and scored a touchdown. Friends, Jim Marshall was one of the most sincere men you ever saw. But he cost his team the football game because he ran 65 yards the wrong way and scored a touchdown for the other team. And there are many people who say, well, you know, I do a lot of good works. I give to charitable causes, so I'm sure God will understand. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, if we could work our way to heaven, if we could pay our way to heaven, do you know what would happen when we got up there? We'd look up and we'd say, look what I did. Look what I did. But I want you to know that the only way you're ever going to make it to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He is the way to eternal life. Jesus took our sins. Jesus took our judgment. Jesus took our hell. And we need to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Christians today need to be the light and the salt in the world in which we're living. We need to be setting the example. Because when we look around our world today, there are a lot of poor examples. Amen? We need to be the example in this world today. There are some people that say, well, I'll reform. I'll do better. Man, I can't tell you the number of times through the years in ministry I've heard that excuse. From people who sit in church just like, well, now, Pastor, I'm going to do better. But you know what? Brother Derek, they never do better. And the reason they never do better is because they don't have any power within them to do better, because they need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll give them the power to do better. Hey, all we can do is mess it up, but praise God, there's a fixer upper in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus Christ, an explosion of power takes place. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the power to live a new life. You and I cannot live the Christian life. We have no power within us to live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit has to live within us, and Jesus Christ has to live through us. If we try to live this Christian life on our own, all we are is a total flop and failure. Now Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said this. Jesus said only a few are going to find that narrow gate, that narrow way. Friends, every one of us needs to ask ourselves that question. Are we among the few? You not only choose between two ways of life, but you choose between two masters. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus preached in his Sermon on the Mount, you have to make a choice. All the way through the Bible, do you know what the Bible teaches? Choices, choices, choices. We must choose not only between two ways of life and two masters, but we also must choose between two spiritual fathers. Now, Jesus gave a very shocking statement in John 8:44 when he said to the religious of his day, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. For many, the devil is really your spiritual father. Now, you're not aware of it. You're certainly not going to admit it. But friend, that's the way God looks at it. There's either your spiritual father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are sold out to him, living for him, following him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they what, church? If we're following him, we ought to be doing the things that he says, amen. To be doing anything else means we're not following him. And so you got to choose the Lord Jesus Christ or the devil. And then you have to choose not only between two ways of life, two masters and two fathers, but you have to choose between two destinies, heaven or hell. Solomon wrote about the way to hell. This is what Solomon wrote. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. C.S. Lewis, the great Cambridge and Oxford professor, used to emphasize this when he taught. He said, no one ever had so much to say about hell as did Jesus Christ. On the other hand, no one ever spoke of heaven with more clarity and authority than Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to know Led Zeppelin played a song many, many years ago. You might know it. It was called Stairway to Heaven. Well, Led Zeppelin didn't know what they were talking about, but I want you to know something. Jesus Christ is the stairway to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by what, church? There's only one way. He's the only way to heaven. And you need to come to him with all of your heart, holding nothing back. And if you want to come to him, you're going to need to get up and you're going to need to come during the invitation. You need to come. You need to say yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to know that Jesus Christ right now is in heaven preparing for you your estate. There is a future life, an eternal life, and eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins in the here and now when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He comes to live in your heart in the presence of his Holy Spirit. He dwells within you the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gateway to heaven. Now, this is a choice you must make. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your father can't make this decision for you. Your mama can't make it for you. And if you're a parent, your children can't make it for you. This is where you must choose for yourself. Joshua knew that he could not choose for the tribes of Israel. They had to choose for themselves. Now, friend, you need to know something. We're all social beings. Man is a social being. However, there is within every one of us an inner sanctuary where we retire from all other fellowships, from all other friendships, from all other influences. There's a lonely arena in every single one of us where the greatest battles of life must be fought alone. And this is a decision that you have to make alone. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. I want you to notice it says seed. This has something to do with your children, your grandchildren, and your children's children. It's something that passes on from one generation to the next, this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. The Bible says about Moses in the book of Hebrews, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses made a choice. Moses could have probably been the Pharaoh of Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, heir to all the riches and power of Egypt. And he made a choice to suffer persecution, reproach with the people of God. Now Moses had no idea that one day God was going to write a book and he would be his name would be recorded in history. Moses didn't know that someday he was going to lead all Israel when he made that decision. He didn't know that someday he'd be considered one of the greatest men who ever lived. When he made that choice, Moses made it on the basis of simple faith in God. And I want you to know today that each of us has only one past. But friends, there are many futures we cannot see. And none of us can change our past. But we can change our future when we determine by destiny that we're deciding for Jesus Christ. When we go with Joshua and say, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And when you do that, you know what happens? Oh, praise God, Jesus Christ comes and he changes your past. He wipes out all those sins of the past. Because you see, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he forgave you and I all our past. And today, while you may be being reminded of the many sins of your past, in your life, because the Holy Spirit of God is bringing them to you right now. You see, God says his word never goes out void. And right now, you know those sins are standing against you at the judgment seat where every secret thing will be brought out. But the good news is this, Jesus Christ offers you forgiveness today, just as if you never sinned. He offers you justification today, just as if you never sinned. Oh, friend, can you just imagine what it would mean to you to go to bed tonight, to lay your head down on that pillow, and to know the past is gone, it's been forgiven, it's been cleansed, it's been wiped away. God has buried your past in the grave of his wonderful forgetfulness. Now, we're talking about choices. And you and I are going to have to make a choice. And this choice is very urgent, period. To delay makes the right decision harder. Indecision is itself a choice not to decide, and you need to choose now. Nowhere in the Bible are we promised a tomorrow. All we have is a hope of tomorrow, but we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. And so you need to come while you can. You need to come to Jesus right now, and you need to make the decision for yourself. You say, "What do I have to do?" Well, there's three things. First, you must be willing to repent of your sin. That means to change your way of thinking about your sins and realize how bad they are in the sight of Almighty God. And you're choosing to make Jesus Christ, the Lord, the priority of your life. You're going to put him first from now on in all that you do. Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior. And you want to be sure you're saved. And in order to be sure you're saved, you have to be willing to repent. There is nothing cheap about grace. And then secondly, by faith you must receive Jesus Christ into your heart. That means you put your whole weight on him, you trust him and him alone. And then third, you follow and serve him as his disciple, as his follower, as one of his little sheep. And again, I'll remind you, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." He's the shepherd. You obey him. And that means a big change for many. But if you make this choice, and I'm asking you to make this choice today, I'm going to ask you to make it publicly. Why? Because we see that. When Jesus called people, he called them publicly. When Joshua called upon the people, he called upon them publicly. When Moses called the people, he called upon them publicly. And today, as they get ready to come and sing "Just As I Am," I'm asking you, what is God saying to you today?